Service today, divine service setting one, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the promise of your Savior given to you. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like newborn infants, alleluia. Long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Alleluia. In distress you called, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it, and with honey from the rock I will satisfy you. Like newborn infants, alleluia, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, alleluia. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The catechetical review for today is found in the center of your bulletin. We read together the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading for today from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these things agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On that evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated as we continue with the last four verses of our opening hymn. Invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. Great to see you guys this morning. Let's go back all the way to the beginning, all the way back to the beginning. Who were the first two people that God created? Adam and Eve, right. Was there any sin in the world? Was there any bad stuff in the world at all? Everything went really well, didn't it? Did it stay that way? Oh, what happened? Yeah.
And God told them not to.
Right. God had said, don't eat from that tree, and the devil deceived them. He tricked them, and they didn't trust God, and they ate. And then what happened? We'll get there. They went out of the garden, but when they sinned, and then God was coming, walking in the garden, what did Adam and Eve do?
They hid.
Yeah. They ran away from God. They didn't want to be where God was, because when we do something bad, We don't want to take credit for it. We don't want to talk about it. Have you guys ever done something at home, broken something at home, done something you weren't supposed to? Do you want to go tell mom and dad what happened? That's good, but most of the time we don't. Most of the time we want to run away. We don't want to be there. We don't want to talk about the bad things I've done. So for Adam and Eve, we know what that meant. They ran away from God, but did God just say, okay, I'm done with you. I don't want anything to do with you.
No.
No.
Angel
Yeah, at the end, the angel drove them out of the garden, but it's not punishment. It's so they wouldn't eat from the tree of eternal life and live forever with their sin. So now let's jump ahead for today. Last Sunday, what was last Sunday? Anything happened last Sunday?
Easter.
What happens on Easter?
God.
Oh my goodness, the promise that God made to Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior into the world happened last Sunday, when God sent his very Son into our world. That's Christmas, and Jesus grew, and he did miracles, and on Friday, what happened to Jesus?
He died.
Yeah, that's right there on the cross. He died. And did he just die because he had a lot of bad people around him?
No. He died to take away their sins.
And our sins. Yeah. Every time that we've run away from God, every time we haven't said the truth, Jesus died for those sins. That was on Friday, and he laid in the grave on Saturday. And what happened on Sunday? He walked out. He wasn't dead anymore. Death couldn't hold him. He is alive. He appeared to the disciples that day. All the disciples were there except for two. Thomas was no more, Judas was no more, and Thomas wasn't there. Now, why do you think Thomas wasn't there? Well, you're right. It's unbelief. That's really what's going on here with Thomas. Thomas, when he was with Jesus and Jesus was in the garden getting interrogated, if you will, Thomas ran away, like all the other disciples. And when every time we don't want to deal with our sin, what do we like to do?
Run away.
And Thomas wasn't with the rest of the disciples on that Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. But it's a week later, it's today now, and Jesus is still alive, and Jesus comes back to the disciples, and Thomas is there. And Thomas is still unbelieving. And he said, I won't believe. I'm not going to believe unless I can take my hand and put it in Jesus' hand and see the hole, and I'm not going to believe unless I can put it in his side. And what was in Jesus' side?
A mark
from the spear, remember, from the soldier. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe. And what did Jesus say? Did he come in there and he's going to really get after Thomas?
No, he said, peace be with you.
He said, peace be with you, and he forgave his sins. And then he said, Thomas, touch my hand, touch my side. Stop your unbelieving and believe. And he did. Thomas believed, and he said, my Lord and my God. You see, our sin wants to do the same thing, doesn't it? Our sin wants us to run away from the bad things we've done. But Jesus tells us, come here and confess it. Tell Jesus what you did, and what will he say to us? Better do better next time.
No.
No, what's he say?
Peace be with you.
He forgives all our sins, and we are free. That's the great hope and the love that we have with a risen from the dead Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for forgiving us and loving us and forgiving us and giving us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. And we continue with our sermon hymn. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for today and all the gifts you have given to us, especially faith that clings to your promises. Father, strengthen us that we may always run to you and not away from you. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thomas got a bad rap. He got a nickname from probably the worst day of his life, and it stuck. When we talk about Thomas, you think about him as Doubting Thomas, which is unfair. Yes, Thomas was doubting. He was not with them on that first day, that first Easter Sunday. The 10 were there, Thomas was not, and Judas was no more. 1 week later, and he's with them. With his unbelief. His old sinful Adam rears its ugly head. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and unless I place my finger into the mark of the nails, and unless I place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas believed that he could believe or would believe if he had proof, hard facts, tangible evidence. He wanted something that was beyond reasonable doubt, because crucified dead men don't rise from the dead. Thomas fell into Satan's trap, just like we do, by the way. Something unbelievable happened. Something unexplainable happened to Thomas. Jesus, their dear teacher and friend and Savior, was betrayed, arrested, hauled away to be interrogated, beaten, crucified, falsely tried, nailed to a cross, died, and then laid in the tomb. One of his friends denied him. One of his other friends betrayed him. It seems like everything is coming apart at the seams here. Everything Thomas knew to be true seemed to be falling apart. And now Thomas, he has to deal with his troubled conscience, because he wasn't with the other disciples a week ago on resurrection morning. His fear, his anger, his embarrassment, his guilt, his grief, all of his sin pressuring him, and his immediate solution to all of that guilt was, stay away. Don't deal with it. Stay away, run away, just try to deal with it yourself. We don't know exactly why Thomas stayed away, but we do know why we do. At some level, every sin is an act of unbelief. Listen to that again. At some level, every single sin is an act of unbelief. Not fearing and loving and trusting in God above all my desires, above all my emotions. James reminds us, but each person when he's tempted, when he is lured and enticed by his own sinful desire, then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Here's some examples of what that looks like in our world. You're struggling with your sin. The one that you do repeatedly. The one that entices you continually. The one that you desire to do. That might be same-sex attraction, or adultery, or gossip, or theft. Someone says to you, did you hear about what's going on upstairs? And you can't wait to jump into the drama and pass it along, stir up the pot and make it worse.